Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 12. Revelation, chapter 12. We'll read verses 8 through 11 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Revelation, chapter 12, verses 8 through 11. Revelation chapter 12, verses 8 through 11. Again, we'll read this passage responsively. And prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Lord, thank you for such a wonderful place that you've given us. And Lord, most of all, thank you for your presence here. The Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would anoint our preacher today. Give us today what you have for us. Lord, we stand before you needy. We stand before you sinful. And though it seems like much of the world is centered on Christmas and many traditions, may we not forget the Christ of Christmas. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
The Bible says in Luke chapter 2, number 14, the angels said this at the time of the birth of Christ. It said, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man. I want you to notice there that the Lord had said that he wanted on earth peace. Now, there'd be peace on earth if it were not for men. Right. On earth, peace and good will toward men. Of course, good will toward men in regard to God and man's relationship. But God knows one of the biggest problems we have on earth is we don't have good will toward each other. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6, in the Old Testament prediction of the coming of the Messiah, it is said that one of the names that the Christ child would be called is the Prince of Peace. If you will, this morning, I will preach a sermon that I think can help us, and it will come from a familiar passage to those of you that have been in church much at all. The sermon this morning is called The Accuser of the Brethren. The Accuser of the Brethren. Earlier, we read from Revelation chapter 12, verse number 10, it says, And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. The Bible calls the devil many, many things. There are different titles or different descriptions for this person called Satan or Lucifer. In John chapter 12, verse number 31, it says, they call Satan the prince of this world. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 2, he is called the prince of the power of the air. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 4, he is called the god of this world. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse number 12, he is called Lucifer. In Zechariah chapter 3, verse number 1, he is called Satan. In Luke chapter 4, verse number 2, he's called the devil. In Revelation chapter 12, verse number 9, he's called the old serpent. In Revelation chapter 12, verse number 3, he is called the dragon. In John 17, 15, he is called the evil one. In Revelation 9, 11, he's called the destroyer. In John 8, 44, he's called the murderer. In Revelation chapter 12, verse number 9, he's called the deceiver. In John 8, 44, he is called the father of lies. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 2, it says, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. In Revelation chapter 12, verse number 10, he is called the accuser of the brethren. The accuser of the brethren. This title, the accuser of the brethren may be one of his most vicious titles. He's a troublemaker among people. This part of his personality may be his most destructive. He's a slanderer. Satan's accusations have destroyed the lives of many. Satan's accusations have discouraged the hearts of many. The devil's accusations have stolen many reputations. Man's accusations could be bad, but hey, a man's accusation is like a church picnic compared to the master accuser's slanderous ways. He's called the accuser of the brethren. He's the accuser of all accusers. He's the slanderer of all slanderers. He is the ultimate false witness of all false witnesses. We know he's a thief because the accuser steals people's testimonies. We know that he's a liar because this great accuser lies about people. The great accuser, we know he's a deceiver, and he deceives us about God, ourselves, and each other. He's the one behind all the chaos between the brethren. He's the one that makes, hey, look, Christmas ought to be a good time for everybody, but somehow the old accuser gets involved. The old smutty face gets involved, and somehow he can take that holiday that ought to be full of joy, goodwill toward man, peace on earth. That's what Christmas ought to be about. What happens? The old accuser gets involved. The deceiver of all deceivers, the one that tampers with the emotion and the attitude and the spirit of people, he soils such a beautiful part of the year with his accusations. The title today is called The Accuser of the Brethren. I have heard that verse time and time again. I hear often people refer to the accuser of the brethren. Today, I would like, if I could, to unfold that to you a little bit. I hope you'll better understand when the Bible talks about the accuser, what that really means about Satan, our enemy. First of all, I want to remind us of this. The devil accuses us to God. Did you know the devil goes to God and accuses you of things? The Bible says in Job 1:6, it says this, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them." Here's the story. Job's story is that this man named Job, he loved God, he hated evil. Satan approached God one day, and God said, "Boy, Satan, have you considered my servant Job?" And the devil accuses to God, he makes an accusation to God about Job. He said, the only reason Job serves you, God, is because he is prosperous. Satan says, "God, you're bragging about this Job guy, but he has good health, he has wealth, he's got what he needs." And Satan said to God, he said, "You withdraw your blessing. And I'll promise you, this Job guy that you're bragging about will change his tune." You see, that's the devil accusing Job, accusing God about Job. Listen to this. Job chapter 1, verse 10 and 11, it says, "Hast not thou made an hedge about him?" This is Satan talking to God about Job. "Hast thou not made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." Hey, Satan said to God, he said, "God, you stop blessing him. You break his heart. You start taking the things that he loves. I'll guarantee you, Job's going to turn and cuss you." Can you imagine Satan walks up to God and he accuses God and about Job? I'm amazed at that, but that's what happened. And just so you know, he does that about you too.
Yes, sir.
He does that about you too. Satan says, "Job won't stick with you, God." Satan says, if Job has a bad day, he's going to turn on you. It won't take much. You put a couple bumps in life, he'll leave the church. You put a couple bumps in life, he'll turn his back on you. He can't take much. He's not got any depth to him. And I'll tell you what. God said, well, let's see. There's a certain hand of blessing that is withdrawn from Job, and we just find out what old Job's made of. Thank God, later on you hear Job say, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. The old accuser had to eat his words. The old accuser's now eating crow. The old accuser had gone and tried to destroy Job's testimony and Job's reputation with God. And God began to withhold some of that blessing and all that smooth part of life. Hey, Job had heartache in regard to his kids and heartache in regard to his finances and heartache in regard to his wife and heartache in regard to his friends. And Satan said, you just withhold a little and that old boy's going to cuss you. Satan accuses us to God. The Bible says, again in Revelation 12:10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation, strength in the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. You understand? It says here that either Satan himself or one of his imps of hell are before God day and night. And night. Doing what? Accusing you. Accusing you. Accusing you. Saying, God, he can't take it. She can't take it. They won't make it. That's what he does without stop. He doesn't let up. Constantly accusing the brethren. Thanks be to God that God does not listen to Satan's slander against his children. You see, when you're saved and you're under the blood of Jesus Christ, his blood speaks for you. The devil says, hey, when you get saved, the debt, Jesus' blood runs to your aid. A saved person, the devil goes and says, hey, that Craig Bush deserves to go to hell. Hey, that Rick Young deserves to go to hell. Hey, that Greg Nash deserves to go to hell. The devil's trying to accuse us to God about this thing called salvation. And the blood of Jesus stands up and says, hey, Craig Bush is saved. He's under the blood. Rick Young is saved. He's under the blood. Greg Nash is saved. He's under the blood. Their sins are forgiven. They'll never experience hell. Thank God. When the old accuser shows up and says, they don't deserve heaven, God says, they're saved. They're saved. No sense in having this discussion, smutty face. I think the devil accuses us to God and says, you deserve hell. That God does not listen to them because we're born again. But let me say, if you're here today and you're not born again, if you're here today and you're not saved, if you're here today and you're depending on anything other than the saving grace of Jesus Christ to get you to heaven, the devil, he goes to God and says, hey, that lady right there, that man right there, they deserve hell. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus died for you, but if you've never been saved, the accusations that are going to God from the devil, they're true about you. They're true about you. Until you receive Jesus Christ, you are not safe when he accuses you about this thing of salvation. There's only one that can back the devil down about accusation, about heaven or hell, and that is Jesus Christ. I think the devil accuses. I think the devil goes even further. I think the old devil accuses us to God in regard to, I think he says, hey, that old Owen's down there. He doesn't deserve your blessing. And God says, well, he's trying hard. He's trying to do what's right. I think I'll bless him for Jesus' sake. I may not deserve the blessing, but I think he says, that's one of my kids. He's born again. He's trying. The accusations come, though. I think the old devil comes along and he says, the power of God down there in that church, the power of God on that preacher, he doesn't deserve that. And I would say, I don't know of anybody that deserves the power of God. But God comes along and he says, without the power of God, that church won't be what it ought to be. Without the power of God, souls won't be saved. Without the power of God, lives won't be changed. They might not be totally deserved. But that's my church. They're trying to serve me. They believe my book. And I think God says, you know what? I watched the Saturday morning before the Sunday service. I watched 3 or 4 dozen men go to a prayer meeting. Please turn your phones off, folks. Turn the phone off. Somebody's life hangs between heaven and hell this morning. It's important that we pay attention now. Look right at me. Give me your attention. I think the devil goes and accuses us to God, and he tries to ruin our reputation with God. But I think God said, you know what? I watched just yesterday morning, 3 or 4 dozen men came to that church. They went to a prayer meeting. They scattered themselves all over the property. They were kneeling at the altar and kneeling at pews and kneeling in Sunday school classrooms. They prayed to me and they begged that I would show up on Sunday morning and that I would show up in their church. And they didn't want to just have another church. They didn't want to just have some religious service. They wanted the power of God to fall. And I think the devil comes along and says, hey, they don't deserve that. And God would say, I'm honor bound to answer their prayer. They came to me in humility and realized they could not do it on their own. And they asked that I show up. I'm showing up no matter what you accuse them of. Hey folks, God, thank God that he has a good sense not to let the accuser of the brethren destroy our entire reputation with God. But we know that that old accuser accuses us to God, just like he accused Job to God. But not only that, I think the devil accuses God to us. First of all, he goes to God, and he does everything he can to ruin our relationship with God and ruin our standing with God and ruin our reputation with God. But wait a minute, he turns around and says, you know what? I can't get God to turn his back on those people. Maybe I can get those people to turn their back on God. By the way, it says accuser of the brethren. You say, yeah, there are people out there in the world that are not saved. They may turn their back on God, but I will never leave it. That's exactly what Peter said. Peter said, I'm not denying you, God. Hey, listen, Christian. God's very concerned about you listening to the devil's accusations against God. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 4 and 5, and the serpent said unto the woman, that's one of the names of the devil, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. This is the story of Adam and Eve and the garden, in the garden. And God had come to them and said to them, do not take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God was doing that for Adam and Eve's own good. And you know what happened? Satan shows up and has a conversation with Eve. Satan starts lying to Eve about God. Here is Satan making an accusation against God to Eve. He says, Satan says to her, God, now remember, God said you should not take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the day that thou takest thereof, thou shalt surely die. You hear what God said? Thou shalt surely die. Did you hear what God said? Thou shalt surely die. Did you hear what God said? Thou shalt surely die. Satan comes along and says, ye shall not surely die. What? God had said, you will die. Satan comes along and says, you can't trust his word. Satan says, your eyes are going to be open if you take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God had told Adam and Eve how to handle the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Satan comes along and accuses God's integrity to Adam and Eve. Said, he's lying to you. If you take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you won't die. Do you realize from that day to this, we have all been spiritually dead until we get born again, all because Satan accused God to Eve and Eve believed Satan's slander against her very creator and God. Folks, don't believe the devil when he's trying to tear God out of your heart.
Don't believe the devil when he tells you this whole book is not true. Don't believe him. He's a liar. He's an accuser. He's trying to destroy God's reputation in your eyes. There's some of you, he's accomplished it. You don't like church. You don't like preaching. You don't like gospel music. He's tore you to shreds. You have listened to the devil as the devil has attacked the integrity of God to you. He said, what's happening here is, the devil says to Eve, look, God's trying to keep something from you. He said, listen, if you take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, your eyes are going to be open. It says, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods. Yeah, your own God. He said, God's trying to keep something good from you. God doesn't have something good for you. He's trying to keep something good from you. That's why God doesn't want you to take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That wasn't God's plan at all. God was trying to do them a favor. God was trying to keep the whole creation of man from falling into sin.
Right.
But Eve believed Satan when Satan accused God. You get this idea that, well, you go to church and you serve God. God's trying to keep you from something. Yeah, he's trying to keep you from devastation. He's trying to keep you from drunkenness. He's trying to keep you from divorce and heartache and pain and destruction. That's what he's trying to keep you from. The devil comes along and the devil says to you, oh, God, he's trying to harness your life. He's trying to keep you away from the fun things of life. The devil's a liar. He always has been. And he is an accuser. Hey, you've been listening to the devil accuse God to you? The devil been coming to you and working on you about this God and what God wants and what God deserves. The devil accuses God of trying to keep us from the fun things of life. Says God is a thief and God is trying to steal some physical pleasure from you. God is trying to steal some physical high from you. The devil accuses God of putting too much on us. He whispers in your ear, that living holy, that's ridiculous. God loves everybody. You don't have to live a certain way. Doesn't God love everybody? Well, sure he does. But God said, you're to live right. Those standards, those are ridiculous. They're all outdated. That's what he says.
Right.
Couldn't I drink and still be saved? And smoke? And cuss? Sleep around like an animal? Can't I do that and still be saved? You can, but you dead sure aren't acting like a saved person. And you're sure giving the rest of us a bad name. And you sure have listened to somebody that told you, go ahead and live any way you want and claim him as Savior. The Bible says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? It means if you get saved, you're supposed to live right after you get saved. And the devil comes along. He says, God's asking too much. God's requiring too much. You see, the devil's trying to destroy God's reputation to you. I wonder how many people come to church around Christmas and Thanksgiving and Easter and say, I just had it with church growing up. The devil got you, didn't he? Been a long time. Oh, the roof would cave in if I went to church. Somebody's been whispering in your ear and it wasn't God. You believed accusation against the God of the universe. He is the accuser. The devil's the accuser. The devil accuses God of putting too much upon us. The accuser tries to tamper with God's reputation with his children. The accuser comes and says, God's not really there. The accuser comes and says, God's not really interested in you. The accuser comes and says, God's not really available to you. The accuser comes and says, God does not really care about you. You know, I'm sure the old accuser told Elijah when he was under a juniper tree that he was the only one standing for God to throw in the towel and quit and join the liberals. Here's what had happened. You go to the Old Testament book of Kings, you'll see the story. Elijah had taken a stand for God. He had slain 450 false prophets of Baal. He had ran miles on foot and was dead, tired, and he'd not eaten. He had called fire from the sky to prove that the real God was God and Jehovah God was alive. He went and he found out that a woman named Jezebel had decided that she would kill him. This man named Elijah had just worked miracles. Miracles. He said, I'm tired, I'm weary. He went to a certain place and he hid. He was under a juniper tree. He had just had the power of God on his prayer life like probably no man in the Old Testament, maybe other than Moses, Elisha. He's under a juniper tree. He's wore out. He's hungry. And until you've killed 450 liberals, you don't understand how tired that'll make you. He's under that tree. And somebody says, hey, Elijah, you did all that for nothing. God doesn't even know who you are. He's forsaken you. You served him. Now you're under a tree by yourself. Got any food? No? Got any water? Where's your friends down at the church? God has forsaken you. You're the only one that would serve God like that. Y'all know the story? What happened? And before long, old Elijah was crying in his sleep. I'm the only one that sacrifices for God. I've been through so much. I'm tired. God came along. An angel said, what are you doing? Who you been talking to? How have you self-entertained so much depression? That's what most of it is. How did you become so self-centered, Elijah, that you have yourself to the point where you're ready to commit suicide? Oh, Elijah said, I don't think anybody else knows what I'm going through. And the angel said, there are 7,000 others in this country that have not bowed their knee to the false God. Now you get up and stop feeling sorry for yourself. Elijah said, well, ain't nobody put it like that recently. I think we'll. And he got up and took off and went 40 days, I think it was, on one meal that they fed him because of the adrenaline rush for facing reality about feeling like God has turned his back on him. He owed it to God to get back out there and say, my God has not forsaken me. But you see, the devil comes along. There are people sitting out there right now. You've been whining so much. I got it so bad. I can take you to someone today that's got it worse than you, and if you would like, maybe God could arrange that you could experience something worse. How do you think Daniel fell in the lion's den? Daniel takes a stand for God. Daniel's a fellow that won't eat the king's meat. They tell Daniel, you're going to have to stop praying. He said, I will not stop praying. They said, we're going to throw you in the lion's den. They throw him in the lion's den. I'm just sure when they threw Daniel down into that pit and those hungry lions were on one side of the cave and Daniel was on the other, all of a sudden Daniel heard a whisper and it was like this. Hey, Daniel. He thought, oh, good. Somebody I know down here. He looked around. You know the little red man? The red suit? Not the one you're thinking of. They work on the same team. But the little red man with the horns popped up on Daniel's shoulder. What are you doing here? I came to tell you the truth about God. See those lions? They work for God. You prayed. You're about to be Baptist stew. Those lions are going to eat you. What good did it do for you to pray? What good did it do for you to sacrifice, said the devil to Daniel? And I think Daniel said, I'm done talking to you. My God will see me through this. And just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that were thrown in a burning fiery furnace, and they said, our God is able to deliver us, but if he does not, we will not turn our back on God. Daniel came up out of that lion's den. He did not have one bite mark on him. And I'll tell you something. I'm glad that Daniel did not listen to the accusation that Satan was making against God to Daniel. Some of you need to stop listening to the devil about God. You stop listening to what he says about this book. You stop listening to the devil. Some of you screwed up your life last night. The devil came to you and said, it's okay. You better stop listening to the wrong guy. You see, it's very obvious to me that the devil accuses us to God. He goes to God and said, that guy's bad, that gal's bad, look at this, look at that. And he goes after us and he wants to destroy our reputation with God. Then he says, you know what? Since God won't listen to it, maybe I can reverse this thing. And maybe I could destroy God's reputation to them. He's pretty good at that, isn't he? The accuser wants us to doubt the goodness of God. The accuser wants us to doubt God's concern for us. The accuser wants to undermine God's authority in our life. Has the devil recently spoken to you negatively about God? Do you doubt God because of the accuser? Do you doubt the preaching of God because of the accuser? What doubtful thoughts has the accuser sown into your mind about God? There are people in this room right now. If I were to say to you, you better be careful. You're fiddling with demonology. You would say, oh, I have nothing to do with that sort of stuff. How is it that you listen so much to the demon of demons? How is it that you always have a bad attitude about God and always have a bad attitude about church and always have a bad attitude about the preaching and always have a bad attitude about holiness and always have a bad attitude about the men of God and the things of God? Who have you been listening to? You must be spending time with the accuser of the brethren. That's the only way it could happen. That's his job. What doubtful thoughts has the accuser sown into your mind? The accuser tells you that your burden is greater than you can bear, and you start passing judgment on God. I say the words, God is good, and the congregation says, all the time. And you sit there and say, not all the time. Well, you're wrong. And you have listened to someone who has accused God. And he's accused God to you, and something has diluted God's integrity in your mind. The accuser tells you, you can trust you, just don't trust God. And so, I got to thinking about this subject, the accuser. The accuser. The devil accuses us to God. Then he turns around and accuses God to us. Then I think the devil accuses us to each other. Yes, sir. It's what really boogers up a holiday season and can destroy a church. Yes, sir. I don't mean during a holiday season. I mean any time. Destroy a ministry. Proverbs 17:4 says, a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. And I say the devil accuses us to each other. Notice something here. Notice the attention that is given to the hearer. Right. Let me read it again. Proverbs 17:4, a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips. Well, how do you receive what lips say? With your ears. And it says, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. You're wrong for letting him talk to you. God said, you've got wicked ears. So I don't talk. You listen, though. Proverbs 6:16 says, these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. The seventh is this, he that soweth discord among the brethren. And I said to you, the devil accuses us to each other. He's always trying to bring disunity among people that are supposed to love each other. He's already gone to work on some of your families for the holiday get-together. Some of you already started to experience it. He's working overtime right now. He doesn't want us to get along. God came along and said, I want peace on earth. The devil said, I'll take care of that. I'm the accuser. God said, I want goodwill toward man and between man. The devil said, I'll take care of that. I'm the accuser. I will turn moms on dads and dads on moms. I'll turn daughters on sons and sons on daughters. I'll turn children on parents and parents on children. I'll turn it on each other. I'll make them miserable. He doesn't want us to get along. He wants fussing and fighting. He wants offenses in the church. He whispers in your ear about somebody else in the church. They're not sincere. They're not sincere. When somebody hurts you, the devil comes along and said, they did that on purpose. They did that on purpose. But may I serve notice to you? There may be about 1, maybe 2% of the congregation of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church that would hurt somebody on purpose. The other 98% where you assume somebody's out to get you and destroy you is the accuser lying to you. We may have some people that are evil enough that wouldn't hurt, but that is not the prominent attitude of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, nor do we want it to be. The devil comes along and said, look, they're out to get you. Look, they're out to get you. That's what the devil does. He's the accuser of the brethren. The devil is so deceptive that he can accuse one sinner to another sinner and convince them that them sinners are bad. You, a sinner, walk around talking about another sinner that's just like you and how bad they are. Very same thing they're guilty of now. You did 5 years ago, but nobody knows about it. You better watch that you don't get sucked in by the accuser of the brethren. Satan, like a roaring lion, goes about seeking whom he may devour. Now, Satan's not a lion, and he's not going to eat your body. What's he going to do? He's going to eat your lunch with accusation. Someone becomes a bus captain. They got promoted. And that's what you wanted. You wanted that bus route. You wanted to be the captain. The devil comes along and whispers in your ear, you got cheated. Then he says, maybe if you'll attack that new bus captain's character, he'll get fired and you'll get the job. You got to leave the church and go someplace where they appreciate you. And you don't see it. But he takes out the big old needle of jealousy. He pops it into your vein and starts pumping that green, nasty jealousy into you. Because somebody got something you wanted. Somebody got a Sunday school class and they're now a teacher and you're not and you wanted it. You were covetous. You see, what you ought to do is just want to serve. Be glad if somebody else gets an opportunity that you don't because you love people, right? What's he do? He wants that. Let's face it, folks. Is that not what happens in churches all over the place? That nitpicky, backstabbing, backbiting, nasty little baby action where they got something I didn't, I'm mad, I'm leaving, I'll go talk about them. I won't join that Sunday school class. I won't join that ministry because I'm mad at somebody over there. You know, I spanked my children when they were little for that kind of behavior, and God's people need to grow up. And you said, what causes it? The accuser of the brethren? He was running wild. We've got his number. He's parked in the back of the auditorium right now wondering if he ought to exit. He doesn't like that kind of preaching because we just pulled back the cloak. Now you see who's behind the red suit. The devil sows distrust between husbands and wives. The devil wants followers not to believe in leaders and leaders not to believe in followers. Satan aggressively recruits people into his army of accusers. Right. Satan wants choir members to badmouth Brother Nash in the choir as a choir director. That's what he wants. You didn't get picked to lead the choir. You think you could do it better. You know what? Even if you could, he's still God's appointed leader. Satan wants bus workers to criticize Brother Doss and Brother Bajet as bus directors, and Satan wants nursery workers to be negative with their nursery directors, and Satan wants students and parents to turn on teachers and principals and principals and teachers to turn on students and parents, and they want brothers. He wants brothers to turn on sisters. Hey, I'll guarantee you one thing. I'll guarantee you this. He wants everybody in here to turn on me. I'll guarantee it. I already know it. Everybody. If you could give him just enough time to turn on me, he knows if you can go after the guy at the top of the totem pole of the New Testament church, he's on his way to shattering a revival. He'll work on you over time to turn on me. I'll guarantee it. And by the way, I'm not whining. I'm just preaching and telling you the truth. He'll do everything he can. Everything. Why? He's an accuser of the brethren. He is out to sow discord. That's what he wants. And so, Satan's biggest goal among the people in the church, let's turn them on each other. Let's make sure that he is the accuser of the brethren to the brethren. He is the accuser. He accuses God to you. He accuses you to God. That's what it means. He's the accuser. Not only that, the devil accuses us to ourselves. He accuses us to ourselves. Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14 says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I had to leave my bad past behind me, and I had to reach forward and do something for God, because the old devil kept coming back to me and saying, Paul, you remember where you came from? Paul, you remember where you came from? Paul, you remember where you came from? Paul, your past disqualifies you. Paul, what you used to be makes it so you're never going to be able to do anything for God. And Paul said, one day I had to look back and say, I'm leaving my past behind me, and I am going on to victory. In Christ Jesus, I can't let the devil accuse me to me. The Apostle Paul, he had slaughtered Christians. I really believe he had slaughtered Christians. He arrested Christians for doing right. And Satan would come to Paul when Paul began to serve God, and Satan would say, it's me, Satan. Listen, you've lived bad. Christianity, it's good. You can't be used. Go ahead and live in your sin, Paul. You arrested Christians, Paul. Mocked and teased Christians. Just so you all know, I don't think that Paul was this sweetheart of a moral, decent, all-around nice guy. And Paul had a lot of problems. Satan whispers in his ear and says, Paul, you're no good. Paul finally had to say, get out of here. I'm not listening to you. You're the accuser. You tried to accuse God to me and me to God. You tried to accuse the brethren. You look at Paul's life. Satan did all of that. Said, you tried to accuse the brethren to me and me to the brethren, and now I'm all alone and you're working overtime on me and the victory that God wants to give in my life. Paul had sentenced Christians to death. Paul had made them feel worthless. Listen, folks, the devil's going to come and he's going to accuse you to you about you. He's going to accuse you about your past. The sins of your past. Just so you all know, folks, I'm not a priest. You don't need to confess to me. Listen, what you need to do is you need to confess to the real high priest. That is Jesus Christ. You and I aren't going to climb in a little booth, and you don't have to, you know, tap yourself on all four points of a cross. All you need to do is go to the cross of Jesus Christ, kneel in his presence, and say, God, forgive me. I've done some things that are wrong. God, forgive me, and God will forgive you. If you're not saved, you can be born again and God give you a fresh slate or a clean slate. If you're saved and you've done wrong, you have a God that will forgive you. There's some of you, your past has gotten you down way too much, and the devil is constantly accusing you about what you used to be. I like that song the teenagers sing. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. You just sing that song to the devil. To say, hey, what I used to be, I'm not that anymore. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. If you got saved, God will clean you up, get you started, and you can do something for God. But the old accuser comes along. The old accuser says, I wouldn't use you. Which is a good thing, because we don't want to be used by the old accuser. Your failures of the past have crippled you. And the old accuser reminds you of those failures. And think about Moses for a moment. Do you all realize that Moses was a murderer? Moses, in his early years, he actually rose up and murdered a man. You can say it was for a good cause. Most murderers probably do say it was for a good cause. I think he lost his temper. I think he did something that was against the law. Can you imagine when God called upon Moses, said, Moses, I want to use you to lead 3 million plus people. Moses probably went to his tent that night, and there came the man in the red suit down the chimney. And the old man in the red suit said, hey, Moses, Moses, you're a murderer. God's going to humiliate you. He's setting you up for a fall. Somebody's playing games out there in outer space with the name Moses. Uh-huh. Maybe the devil comes to you and there's a lack of accomplishment. I'll promise you, thank God Moses did not listen to the old accuser. Moses said, all right, maybe it is I've done wrong. Maybe it is I was a murderer. Maybe it is I was reared in the most liberal of society and schooled. But I'll tell you this, God called me and I'm going to do something for God. It's worth a chance, said Moses. There's people in here, you say, Brother Owens, my first marriage was wrecked. I just never felt confident that God could use me. Folks, can I tell you something? All God has to use are us sinners. I wouldn't wish divorce upon you. You wouldn't wish it upon me. But if you've been there, you're looking at a preacher that loves you. And I'm not glad you've experienced it, but let me tell you something. God can still use you, and God will still use you. And I'm going to just tell some of you, the devil's been whispering in your ear, you can't do this. You can't make it. Hey, so, hey, maybe he tells you somebody's going to hold that against you. All right, but God won't. And I don't think God's for us having destroyed marriages, but I'm going to tell you, God has a way of forgiving and giving us another chance. You see, the devil accuses us to us about our past. The devil accuses us to us about our weaknesses. I have some character flaws. And boy, does the devil work on me. I struggle with, Brother McLean, I struggle with faith a little bit. I really do like doing things that I can make pretty sure we're going to get it done. This thing of going beyond yourself, I don't like that. It's kind of hard for me. We're getting ready to build a Bible college. Man, am I scared to death. People are going to say, how are you going to do that? I don't know. Where are you going to get the money? I really don't know. Where are you going to get the students? Don't ask. I am. I'm scared. I don't think I can do it. But we're going forward. He comes and he says, I know your weakness. I know your weakness, Jeff Owens. And he piles it on. He piles it on constantly. Devils come around saying, you can't pull this off. You can't do this. Not in this economy. There's no way it can be done. It's just not going to happen. And there's sometimes I'm just saying, God, you just keep leading me. I can't see how it can work. I hear your voice. I'm following a bit blind. The devil comes. He knows your character flaws. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your shortcomings. He knows how to steal your confidence. He knows how to get you to put your tail between your legs and run. And he comes along and he starts talking to you about what you know about you. The sins that you keep battling. That one that's just about wore you out. That sin that you came to the altar 100 times over about it. Now you're to the point you don't even come to the altar about it anymore because you're almost embarrassed to. You are now more concerned about what you might call lying to God than trying to conquer that sin because you told God so many times you're going to stop it and didn't. Now you feel like you'd rather not tell Him you'll stop it because you feel like you lied when you didn't. You know what I mean? That's what the devil does. The old accuser. He accuses you about your past. He accuses you about your weakness. He accuses you about your motives. You're not doing this because you love God, the devil says. You don't love God enough. You're a fake. You're not real. The devil comes along and says, you're just all full of pride. I think he's trying to psych you out. He says, you're about to embarrass yourself. You know you can't. You know you can't live for God. You know you can't accomplish this or accomplish that. He is an accuser. He goes to God and accuses you to God, and then he accuses God to us. He accuses us to each other. Then he finally comes along and says, I'll get you one way or another because, if God won't do it, if you won't do it to God, if others won't get you, I'll let you destroy you. He knows how to talk to your head. He will use your own flaws against you. He's an accuser. He says, you probably hurt someone. If you're bound to fail. Why teach a Sunday school class? Why become a bus captain? Why start this ministry? Why start that ministry? I'll tell you this. I know Satan accuses me to me. There are times, if I could get at him with a ball bat, I would. It's more a mental war. See, if he can't find someone else to get me down, he'll make sure I get me down. The accuser of the brethren. That's who he is. He accuses us to God. He accuses God to us. He then turns around and accuses us to each other. Then he comes and accuses us to ourselves. Hey, if you're not saved today, let me tell you what he'll do to you. He'll accuse you in regard to salvation. Let me explain. If you died today and you're not 100% sure you're on your way to heaven, there's a thing called salvation. It is a free gift. It was paid for in full by Jesus Christ. Now, when I say free gift, so you understand, it cost Jesus everything. It cost you nothing. It's a gift. That is the purpose of the coming of the Messiah. That was his virgin birth that would lead to his death, that would lead to his resurrection, which signed the deal in full so you could be saved. You just accept it as a free gift. But the devil comes along and he's an accuser. The devil comes along and he says, you don't deserve to be saved. Well, that's all right. There's only one catch to that. None of us deserve to be saved. And the devil may come along to you and say, you don't deserve to be saved. You don't deserve to go to heaven. You don't deserve that. And let me make something very, very clear to you. The devil thought he would use that against you, but the truth is he's telling the truth. We don't deserve it. It's a free gift. Hey, God's been good to make salvation available. I'll never forget my grandfather. My grandfather married, I think, 5 times. Owned a bar. Drunken mess. bar, whorehouse. My grandfather was a wicked old man. Wicked old man. He was dying. He was in the hospital. Reed Memorial Hospital in Richmond, Indiana. My mom called and said, Jeff, if you want to see Grandpa again, you better come. Got in my car, drove about 5 hours, got to the hospital. Everybody was there. It was going to be minutes, I think, before he would pass. I walked into the room. Everybody left the room. I watched my mom almost usher everybody out of the room because she wanted me to be with him. She knew what I would do. I would just see one more time if the old man would trust Jesus. Because he didn't want anything to do with it. He was wicked, nasty. And I said to him, I said, Grandpa, I don't know if everybody's told you the truth. You're going to die. Nobody had really told him. He spit up, he coughed, this black stuff came out of his mouth. He's just full of nasty. Nurse come running over and wiped it off. And the little old me said, don't get that on you now. Don't get that on you. It's just nasty. I said, Grandpa, there's a heaven and there's a hell. You've got to get saved. An old, gravelly voice. He said, Jeff, I'm bad. I'm nasty. I don't deserve hell. Oh, no, he said, I don't deserve heaven. He said, I deserve to go to hell. And I said, that's right, Grandpa. That's point number one. I said, Grandpa, everybody's nasty. He said, I'm too bad. I said, ain't nobody too bad for Jesus to save them. I said, Grandpa, there's a penalty for your sin. It is death and hell for all eternity. I said, Grandpa, Jesus Christ paid that penalty with his death, his burial, and resurrection. And Grandpa, you're going to have to pray and ask Jesus to forgive you of that sin and come into your heart and be your Savior. We bowed our heads. We closed our eyes. That old gravelly voice, my grandfather, called upon the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He prayed and asked Jesus Christ to come into his heart and save him. I turned and I walked out of the room. I went out and my mom looked at me and she said, well, I said, it's okay, Mom. It's okay. They went back in the room and within moments he was dead. Snatch! From the gate of hell. The devil had taken the old man, I think it was his 89th birthday, had taken him to the threshold of hell and intimidated him into believing that he could not get saved. The old accuser night and day was saying, don't save that old man. Don't save that old boy. Hey, old man, you can't get saved. You're too bad. You can't do it. You can't get saved. Hey, thank God the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ is more powerful than the accuser of the brethren. You say, Brother Owens, I don't think I can do what I need to for salvation. Somebody's told you a story. It's easy getting saved. Hard for Jesus, but all you have to do is say, can't save myself. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe he died for me, was buried for me, and resurrected for me. I'll turn my eternity over to him. I'll ask him to come into my heart and be my Savior. That's how easy it is. If you're not saved, get saved. Don't let the accuser psych you out of it. Don't let him do it. The accuser of the brethren. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.